I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture reading this morning is from Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 through 20. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from His glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in Him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He Himself is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so He might come to have first place in everything. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him God was pleased to reconcile Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of His cross. May the Lord add His blessing to this reading of His word.
Thank you, Jim. One of the most important needs in life for most people, and I honestly believe for all people, no matter what they may say, is the need to feel connected. Whether it's through their job, school, community, clubs, organizations, church, whatever it is, people need a sense of connection. To be connected is such an important human need that when there is no connection, counselors find people in their offices. And they're sad, and they're depressed, they're lonely. And some of them come in and they're angry at the world, because they have no connection, no one who helps them feel loved and wanted. Scripture speaks to the need of connection with other human beings, not just in this one, but in others. Then the Lord said, "It is not good the man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." Genesis 2:18. Then from Ecclesiastes 4:9 through 12, "Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up the other, but woe to one who is alone and falls and does not have another to help. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone? And though one might prevail against another, two will withstand one. A threefold cord is not quickly broken." Researchers have found that loneliness is just as lethal as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. Do you know that? Lonely people are 50% more likely to die prematurely than those with healthy social relationships. There are several reasons why loneliness can be deadly. And also note, stress will affect you more if you're lonely. That's how important connectedness is. And that is really what this scripture is all about that Jim just read. Paul reminds us of God's concern for us when we are alone or lonely. He reminds us God created us, all of us human beings, not just one particular race, all human beings God created through Himself, for Himself. In saying that, Paul is saying we are all connected, and rightly should be. You remember the analogy where Paul says some of us are arms, some of us are legs, some of us are this. We're connected. He compares us to a body because we need to be connected. Now, I'm sure you understand the relationship of cause and effect. We've heard that through the years. If this happens, then that results. So think about it. When you enter a dark room and you flip a light switch, you expect the lights to come on, right? But what if you flip the switch for the lights and the windows open? Would you be surprised? The two aren't related. When you get in your car and you turn the key, you assume that the engine is going to crank up. But what if you turn the key and the wheels fell off? I actually had a car like that. The two are not related. In counseling, most of us use guided imagery because you can have cause and effect responses to your environment. And I don't know if any of you have ever been a part of guided imagery, but it's very interesting. And when I've had clients come in and I've used guided imagery, I was very surprised at times how effective that can be. For example, if you would, kind of go along with this, close your eyes, picture yourself on a beautiful tropical beach, feeling the warm breeze, hearing the gentle surf and the distant gulls. How do you feel? How does that make you feel? Now, does your feeling change if I say, and there's lightning striking nearby? The wind is carrying off your beach umbrella, and the driving rain stings your skin. Does that change? You picture that peaceful moment, and then suddenly here comes these things that can disturb that moment. And what I see in clients is so often they get calm and relaxed, but if I add these other parts, their heart starts racing. Does that feeling change? That's the question when you're not connected to what is good. For many of us, when we gather in this sanctuary, it could be compared to that good feeling that we get on a tropical beach. We feel the warmth, the friendship, we hear familiar voices, shake hands or hug someone, and it brightens our day because of the connectedness. And I might add, just as a little aside here, notice the centrality of Jesus' death and resurrection to the gospel and our faith. They are symbolized by the cross and an empty tomb. Here again is cause and effect. The cross is effective for atonement and forgiveness. The empty tomb is effective for hope and for life. So if you have that guided imagery and someone is presenting that to you, you may have these feelings of peace when you hear about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But when we come to church because of the connectedness, because we're seeking out others. And when we're not here for this gathering of Christ's followers, we may feel alone, lonely, as though we have no one in the world, especially if we live alone, and we have so many members of our congregation who live alone. Can you imagine day in and day out being alone? And so there is those of us who visit, who go out and talk to these people who are sitting by themselves, some in a retirement home, a nursing home, or at home, and they have no one. So we have to help them gain connectedness. In truth, we are starving for connectedness to our faith community. People may ask you, why do you go to church? I want you to think about the answer. If someone asks you today, why do you go to church? What will you say? No doubt, most of you will say it's for the sermons. Thank you, that's very kind. But I believe, if we're totally honest, we would say for fellowship, to be among fellow believers. We have Sunday school. People come together. We have soup and scripture. People come together. We have plays. We have dinners. People come together, connected. I want to be with others to feel that connectedness. Even on committees, some people are very, very committed to their committee because they know when they get there, they're going to have people around them. It's an interesting thing. I might also mention that the funeral Friday for Donna Curtis, when her family came and spoke with me, the first thing I hear is, Mom loved Central Christian Church. It was so important in her life. And then began to reminisce about their days growing up in the church, expressing how wonderful it was to be connected to the church, to be able to see their friends and family and others when they come to church. I saw something that reminded me of church fellowship, or at least what I like to think of as the perfect church fellowship. And I think this congregation may be very close to this picture. I don't know if you've seen the documentary, The March of the Penguins, but it follows the emperor penguins in Antarctica on their incredible journey through ice and snow to mating grounds up to 70 miles inland. It's narrated by Morgan Freeman. And this beautiful film captures the drama of these 3-foot-high birds in the most inhospitable of environments. And here's what's said. Once the males have reached the breeding grounds and have been given responsibility for the eggs, they override their competitive nature and form a team for the sake of survival. These penguins usually attack each other. As a massive storm sets in, vicious winds pelt the penguins, which are huddled now in a single mass. And then suddenly the view alternates from close-ups of ice-caked penguins to panoramic shots of the huddled throng. And then Freeman says, as the fathers settle into their long wait at the breeding grounds, the temperature is now 80 degrees below zero. That's without taking into account the wind, which can blow up to 100 miles an hour. Though they can be aggressive during the rest of the year, at this time, the males are totally docile, a united and cooperative team. They brace against the storm by merging their 1,000 bodies into a single mass. They will take turns, each of them getting to spend some time near the center of the huddle where it's warmer. What a picture of the church at its best. When the storms come, when things get rough, they come together. And they take turns with the brunt of whatever they're dealing with. Building our lives on sharing the fellowship of Christ is so important, and we huddle together as a congregation, as followers of Christ, to do that, to take care of the ministry. We may walk out of here independent, going to our own homes, living our own quiet lives, but in Christ we're one, and Paul says it. And I know some of you, I have visited you, I've been with you, and I know some of you have had issues, and the first one you call is some member of the church. Your connection. Your best friend. Somebody who's been here for a long, long time. Some of you grew up in this church. That was brought up at Donna Curtis's funeral. They brought up David Curtis when I was a child, who I used to play with in the church. Still connected. Still remembers that connection. Paul says, may you be made strong with all the strength that comes from His glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son. That is, into the fellowship with Christ. Central Christian Church holds a special place in so many hearts. And there are so many memories, and some of them may not even live here anymore. But they'll call, or they'll send a letter, or they'll make a comment about, I remember when I'd go to Cornerstone, I would hear people there say, you know, I used to go to Central Christian Church. What a great church. The retreat What church are you with? Oh, I'm with Central Christian Church. I know that church. I've been there. And the people were so friendly and welcoming. They remember. Why? Because they felt connected. Not that you asked for this information, but I will tell you, I have now conducted nearly 30 funerals here at Central Christian Church. In 8 years, 30 funerals. And I can say in all honesty, all those who passed, who had connections with this church, have themselves told me the same, or their family members have told me the same. They're connected. I can say in all sincerity, and I say this, and I want you to please hear what I say, because I've never honestly felt this way before, but I have never felt as blessed to serve a congregation as I have this one, because of the connectedness, the love, the concern. And I know some of you have differences with each other. But you let one of you get hurt, go to the hospital, the person who may have a difference says, "How are they? I need to go see them." I know most, if not all, of you not only know the meaning but the importance of fellowship as followers of Christ. You have demonstrated that through the years. You have demonstrated that you understand what it means to be connected. Please note the title of the sermon, "The Tie That Binds." Know that not just our Lord and Savior, but you, all of you, inspired this particular message. Because you demonstrate the tie that binds. With that, I would like to tell you one last story. In 1773, a young pastor of a poor church in Wainsgate, England, was called to a large and influential church in London. John Fawcett was a powerful preacher and writer, and the skills had brought him the opportunity to go to this very big church. But as the wagons were being loaded, the Fawcetts had very few belongings. And their people came tearful to say their farewells. During the goodbyes, Mary Fawcett cried, "John, I cannot bear to leave." And he said, "Nor can I. We shall remain here with our people." The wagons were loaded, and John Fawcett spent his entire, or unloaded, and John Fawcett spent his entire 54-year ministry at Wainsgate because he felt the connectedness. Unload the wagon. We're not going to the bigger church. We're not taking more money. This is what we live for. Out of that experience, Fawcett wrote the beautiful hymn, "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds," because he knew how important that is. I want to thank you for blessing me with the tie that binds, for the fellowship that you have shown, not only me, but so many through the years. And when we recognize the saints on All Saints Sunday, you see a lot of saints. If we listed everyone who had ever been through this church, they're going to tell you how connected they felt through those years, through those experiences, what you've been through together. Jim Spears, been in this church his entire life. George, so many others. This is life. This is the connection. This is where they are because of the tie that binds. So thank you for being that kind of church that our Lord and Savior promoted and talked about, and Paul follows up on by saying, "Blessed be the tie that binds." Let us pray. Gracious Lord, as we come before you, oftentimes we don't feel connected. Sometimes we get into ourselves and our loneliness, our sadness, or whatever problems we may have. Please help us to look around and to see that we do have friends, that we have friends in Jesus, that we have friends who are there for us in those bad times. And may we welcome them and embrace them, for we ask this in your Son's name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.